Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today we're talking about what it means to be a prophetic people. And I'm super excited about our guest today because he is a member of the First Presidency of Community of Christ. So he has perhaps a more intimate look of what it means to be prophetic. So Scott, welcome. Hi, thanks for being on the podcast.
Hi, Carla. It's great to be with you and the listeners today.
Scott, tell us about yourself.
Well, as you indicated, I have the privilege of serving in the First Presidency and Community of Christ with President Stephen Veazey and President Stacy Cram. And so I have just been richly blessed to be able to serve in that experience with both of them. I currently live just outside of Independence, Missouri, in a small community called Grain Valley. We moved out here with our youngest son at the time when we moved here and wanted to have a little bit of land. So I have the privilege of having some woodlands in the back of our property. And so I love to sit out on our deck and enjoy just the nature. And now with the cool weather, seeing the colors change and all the trees. I am married. I have a wonderful wife named Sandra. I have two boys, Michael and Ryan. Our oldest, Ryan, lives up in Des Moines, Iowa, where I had served as Mission Center President for Lamoni Heartland Mission Center before coming to Independence. And then our youngest son, Michael, lives out in Seattle, Washington, north of Seattle, so he kind of went back home from where we're from, is out in the Seattle Puget Sound area. So I have those two boys. They're both married, and Sandra and I have a 11-year-old grandson named Braden, and we now have a 6-month-old granddaughter, and her name is Lennon. And so we're really blessed to have that experience with our boys and their families as they it's been fun to watch them grow and mature and see the families begin to take on those new experiences.
6 months old, that's when they start to be a little bit more fun and not just like lying there. Yeah. So how cool.
Yeah, Sandra and I had a chance to go out and visit in July, and Lennon was just a couple months old, and so there wasn't that real opportunity to bond. She's still really connected to mom, but now that she's getting older, we're looking forward to being able to get to know her a little bit more. So we're grateful for FaceTime when Michael and the kids get on with us and we can see Lennon, but we're looking forward to getting back out there and being with them and get to know her a little more.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I hear having grandkids is just the best thing in the whole wide world.
You know, it's it is, you know, I've always heard people talk about it, and I can honestly say it is a wonderful blessing to have that kind of relationship with your grandchildren.
Oh, I love that for you, Scott. That's really exciting. Oh, how cool. So, Scott, let's just jump into the podcast about what it means to be a prophetic people. But first, I want to hear about what does the word prophetic mean to you, and what is the understanding of prophetic in Community of Christ for you?
You know, if I had to define the word or describe the word prophetic, I would probably put it in this way. It's about being awake and revealing the presence of God's call and movement in the midst of life. I actually find some really powerful connections that if the listeners have been exposed to the mission prayer that's been in the life of the church now for the last several years, and I encounter it being used frequently as I travel around the church, there's something really in those first two sentences that remind us of this nature of prophetic and how we begin to understand it in Community of Christ. So when the prayer begins, God, where will your spirit lead today? The first thing that it acknowledges is that God is in our midst, that God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, is in our midst, and that God is up to something. But then the words, help me to be fully awake and ready to respond, become that active participation, or what Velma Rouche, who writes about the prophetic, calls co-laborers with the divine. It's that being prophetic is really about this awakening to God's movement and activity, both in our life and in the life, in the midst of human life. And then what is our response to that? I guess in many ways, I've come to understand that the role of the prophetic is really is less about the words we say and more about the life we live. It's just saying that, yeah. And when we live prophetically, it is endeavoring to live the life modeled by Jesus. And I really like the words that Matt Frizzell and his thoughts and reflections on this question, reminds us that Jesus is that living expression of God revealed in our midst. And so when we're endeavoring to live more than just the words we speak, and that life that we live begins to endeavor to model the life of Jesus, then we are attempting to live and be that prophetic life in the midst of the voices of life that we find in the midst of culture.
I love that. I especially love the words. I mean, sometimes things sound a little too ethereal, and I just don't totally get it. But I can really get behind the term being awake. That's something that I think that I hope that everyone has experienced, you know, like that feeling of where you just understand things and it feels good and it feels right. And you know, you're in the exact place where you should be. That being awake, I can totally step behind that. And I talk to people out here in Utah every once in a while about how we talk more about pre-Easter Jesus than post-Easter Jesus. And they're like, what do you mean by that? And it's exactly what you're talking about. We're trying to emulate what Jesus did right here. Bring in the marginalized people, heal the sick, comfort those who need it. That's exactly what we're called to do. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And I think it's in some ways, you know, if we acknowledge in culture, part of the problem that we experience is the conflict between what we say and how we live. I mean, in many ways, the message of Jesus, the message of a Christian life has in some ways been hampered or even to some degree damaged because so many people see the words people speak, but their lives don't necessarily model that. And so to be prophetic is really to endeavor to live in that space of distortion and to model the different ways that bring words and actions more together in our human nature. Because that, for me, when I reflect on the life of Jesus, that was what Jesus was up to when he spent his time in the midst of humanity. He kept calling and challenging the leaders that there was the Jewish laws, but they certainly weren't upholding those in the way that they were intended to be. And I think that I love the writings of Barbara Brown Taylor, and she talks about the pollution of words that we live in our culture, and that people have become deaf in one sense. And so this aspect of being fully awake and ready to respond invites us into that space of how do we live the words that and the awareness that is emerging for us in that dynamic relationship with God, and how do we begin to live that in a way that people aren't deaf to the words, but are awake to the actions.
Oh, that just makes so much sense to me. And the fact that you take kind of a bit of a scary word, prophetic and prophet, something that seems really far removed from me and my life right now, and put it in those terms, meaning, I guess I might be a prophetic person if that's what it takes to do it. So, I think you kind of already answered this, but let's just focus in a little bit more. And so how has your understanding of prophetic people evolved over your lifetime and experience in this church?
You know, the first thing for me is just acknowledging that humanity has always had a need for voices to help center, refocus, ground us, to call us back into being, to point to where we are going. In many ways, God has always worked through the infallible and imperfect aspect of human life and called some to be that voice or the revealer of God's message to the people. That's what I love in the stories of the Old Testament and the different individuals that we have identified as being prophetic. Man, these are just normal people who God has disrupted and said, I need you to be a voice for me. And yet it's the powerful aspect is that God never functions and operates independently from God's inner involvement with human life. Again, going back to what Velma Roosh defines as co-laborers with the divine, there's this powerful aspect of this being a prophetic people that God doesn't do this alone. God always invites us into this experience. And so when, you know, over time, I've emerged in my own understanding and part of that journey of recognizing this shared relationship of what it means, because it's not about proclaiming what I want. It's really about trying to be open to my sense of God's presence and movement. And again, that can be a fine line. And I liken it to, you would understand this, Carla, from your journey in seminary, and hopefully some of the listeners will, but in some ways I liken it to the aspect of biblical interpretation. So we talk about the role of exegesis, which means drawing out of scripture, letting the scripture speak its message to us, versus the eisegesis, which is about putting our message into it. In some ways, being a prophetic people faces that same challenge in our need to be careful about letting the prophetic message find its place and voice through us rather than us putting our voice and message into it. One of the things I've had the privilege to do, the presidency has been going through a process of reviewing the second volume of the Doctrine and Covenants commentary that Dale Luckman has been writing. And what's been interesting, the second volume now picks up with Joseph Smith III and will go through President Vesey. And as I've been reading those sections now in this review process, there's just been this powerful experience for me of experiencing the church through this prophetic role that we are blessed to have in the church, and recognizing this progressive development that has occurred. So many times when we use the Doctrine and Covenants, we do it through these kind of spot encounters where we will go to a section if we're preaching or something or studying. Rarely do we read through the Doctrine and Covenants in a progressive process. And there's just this powerful experience of the prophetic role working and moving in the life of the church and calling the church forward, at times in very disruptive ways, but in ways that it's taken us deeper. And so as I think about my ongoing and emerging understanding of being a prophetic people, there has been that progressive role. So I can think back to my when I was younger, and the role of the one being the prophet of the church. And then when President McMurray in 1996 brought words of counsel to the church and disrupted us with the call to be a prophetic people, wow, what a powerful moment that was.
Oh, absolutely. So you kind of led into my next question, actually. And can you like describe some prophetic moments in your life? You know, moments when you felt you were fully awake, moments when you weren't doing eisegesis versus exegesis, moments when, yeah, you recognize perhaps, maybe even later, you recognize that it was a prophetic moment.
Yeah, let me offer this words as a precursor to sharing some reflections on experiences. But you know, this aspect of being awake doesn't mean that you're going to be in a prophetic role 24/7. That the aspect of and the discipline of prayerfulness and in being open and discerning means that you try to be mindful of when those disruptive moments occur, that you have an awareness that it may be something different than just your own human emotions. I think part of being this prophetic, understanding the prophetic nature is also a process of each of us in our own spiritual journey trying to understand how it is that God speaks to us. And that can be a lifelong journey in that way. But, you know, the prophetic encounters that we have can be, I think, you know, Ron Harmon, he talked about that disruptive experience. And that is true because they come at moments when we may be least expecting it. And yet at the same time, when they do come, that awareness through our own journey and discipline of beginning to recognize, this is something different than I normally experience, or these words that I'm beginning to encounter may be different than the way that I would express things. So I had one of those experiences. Probably, let me name this one. It was in 2012. I was at SPEC, and it was on a Thursday, so it was the final day of classes. At that SPEC in 2013, we had provided in the adventure classes for the youth to be able to choose from a class that that engaged in exploration about the question of same gender relationships. And this was provided as part of the discernment journey for the church in the USA to help people in their preparation for the national conference that would occur then that April of 2013. And so a class had been created, and Larry McGuire and another facilitator were leading the class. And so on that day, I just wanted to see at the end of the experience how that went. And so I just went in and I sat in the back of the room there and just listened. And around the table, there must have been 20 people in that session of the class. And it was youth and it was adults from some of the delegation staff that had come. It didn't take long to be able to listen in that it was not a group that all had the same perspective. There were differences of perspectives on either side of the question around same gender marriage and ordination that was being discussed. But there was this powerful experience of people sharing together. And then at the very end, as the facilitators were beginning to wrap up the class, there was this one youth, this young woman who spoke up, and she simply says, "I don't want this experience to end," and talked about how much this experience had meant to her, that people who were adults and other youth who sat together, and she could ask questions or share perspectives without feeling judged or being told, as she had been told back in her congregation, when she would ask questions trying to understand this issue, and people would, adults would tell her in the church, "Well, when you're older, you'll understand." And so there was just this dismissive experience that she encountered. And yet in this class, in this space, she encountered something so different that impacted her life. And she just verbalized it and said, "I don't want this to end." And Carla, the only way that I can explain it to you and the listeners is this: as I sat there, what I encountered was this overwhelming flood of presence that rested on me. And not in my words, but in words that emerged in my own consciousness, simply says, "What you are seeing is the church being experienced and made real." And I sat there in awe, because in that moment, I was awakened to what for me clearly was a divine experience that helped me to understand further the journey that we as Community of Christ are, that the church at its heart and its best way of being is about creating that space of sacred community where even in the diversity, the unity and diversity and the principles that we talk about, that the church is ultimately experienced and made real when we can be together in that sacred space of trust and love and respect, and to be able to learn and grow from each other. And that being the church has nothing to do about all of the schedules and details that we work out and just the worship experiences that we go through on Sunday morning. To truly be the church takes us so much deeper into each other's lives, where we encounter the pursuit of peace, the aspect of reconciliation and healing of the spirit that begins to bring wholeness of life, of body, mind, and spirit for every human life. That was a powerful, disruptive moment for me that became a prophetic awareness and has been a part of my work now in the presidency and in my role as director of field ministries to help engage congregations and leaders and people out in congregations to talk about what does it really mean to be the church? And how do we be open to other ways of experiencing worship and living and being the church that may look different than the standard forms of what church has been in the past? But how do we create those experiences for new generations of people who are looking for a place of belonging? And so that was a powerful, transformative, disruptive moment for me that has been prophetic in how I live and how I lead and how I am now trying to help the church engage in those conversations.
What a good story. I'm a little verklempt right now. I think that young woman put words to how a lot of us feel a lot of the time, you know. I think when that, when those moments occur, you don't want it to end. And you're like, I just want to feel this way over and over. I feel connected and I feel like you understand me and I understand you. And it is such a beautiful feeling. So thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, what it means to be the church and how it's more than just schedules and meetings. And I'm going to ask you a question that actually your brother asked me to ask on this podcast, not this one specifically for you, but, but he really liked the Prophetic People podcast, and he asked about the term prophetic courage. And it seems like that's kind of where you're going. How do we develop this prophetic courage to become the church or to become a prophetic people? Like, what does it take?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mark, for
yeah, thanks so question. Much, Mark.
Yeah, I'll have to give him a call and talk to him more about that.
If you can record that call, we'd love to hear that
okay.
too.
Yeah. So let me see if I can describe it this way, Carla. And again, so this is a question that's coming to me cold, and so, but it resonates because it's been a part of my journey and reflections here lately. So this aspect of being a prophetic people, I feel that this is so powerful about who Community of Christ is called to be in the midst of the world. So there was something, again, when we go back into the Doctrine and Covenants and allow the role of continuing revelation as an enduring principle within the life of the community inform us and form us in our development. You know, before President Grant McMurray shared the words in 1996 about this call to move from being just a people with a prophet to being a people, a prophetic people, in 1992, in section 158, President Emeritus Wallace B. Smith shared words with the church that I believe were the catalyst and the foundations for where we are today. And in section 158, verse 11b, he said, "I am reflecting the Spirit. I am longing to pour out greater blessings than you have ever known if you, my people, will open yourselves through preparation, study, and prayer." Those words, at the heart of those words, remind us that God is yearning to go deeper with us. And again, Ron talked about that in his reflections, that God is yearning and longing to bless us in more profound and intense ways if we as a people will open ourselves through preparation, study, and prayer. Those are the factors of discernment. The act of preparing, the act of studying, and allow us to be able to go deeper in this blessing that God is willing and desiring to pour out onto us. And so when President McMurray says, we need to become a prophetic people, and in his, in section 161, lift up your eyes and fix them on the place beyond the horizon to which you were sent. I don't know. For me, when those words came, I thought, whoa, how do you do that? How do you look beyond the horizon and focus? But in those words is this profound call for how we open ourselves to the revealing nature of God and the mission of Christ that we're called to live out. And so this message is calling us to be able to go further and deeper. Prophetic courage is a willingness to live into that. I have heard the criticisms and people feeling like there has been a loss in the church. There's been a spiritual loss in the church because we somehow rarely hear the words, "Thus saith the Spirit." But I have a counter perspective on that, that I don't feel like there's been a spiritual void occurring in the church. I actually feel that there's a spiritual deepening that's occurring in the church that doesn't require us to have to say, "Thus saith the Spirit." In some ways, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but as I have wrestled with this in my own reflections, sometimes I have wondered if we had become spiritually lazy and there was a need for people to say, "Thus saith the Spirit," because that was the alarm notice that say, "Okay, wake up, something important is going to be said here." But when we think about these words that President Emeritus Smith shared with us about the longing to share greater blessings, if we, the people, will open ourselves, this call that President McMurray shared about lifting up our eyes and looking beyond the horizon to where we're sent, to be a prophetic people, to have prophetic courage, means we are not excused from doing the hard work of responding and listening and going deeper in our own essence of that awareness of what God is up to. And so for me, what is happening in the church, that if we want to go deeper, then we need to be willing to roll up our sleeves and do the work and discipline of listening, of seeing, and living differently. For me, this is what prophetic is about. And this is why in the church, you are hearing the presidency and church leaders talk more about the importance of spiritual formation in the life of the faith community. If we cannot be formed spiritually, if we cannot open ourselves through these spiritual practices and missional practices, then I don't know how we develop the courage to live as a prophetic people. And so for me, to have that kind of courage is an outgrowth of our willingness to do the work, our willingness to be co-laborers with the divine, and to be awake and to be open. And if that's the case, we don't need to necessarily hear the words, "Thus saith the Spirit," because we will be awake and aware of the words that occur when a young woman in a class says, "I don't want this to end," or other experiences that occur in a world conference when people come together and are talking and they stand and say, "I came with a perspective, but being in this community, I am now finding a different perspective." That kind of courage to be able to speak those kind of words is powerful and just as spiritual filled as if they began those words with, "Thus saith the Spirit." So that's my kind of off the cuff response to that question about prophetic courage. And I apologize for rambling there. I hope there's something to hold on to or that the listeners can reflect on in the midst of all of that.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry I threw it at you, but I think that we can both say to Mark now, "Told ya, he did it." I appreciate you. I appreciate your answer very much. It was,
thank you.
Especially talking about spiritual practices. I think that is actually, oh gosh, should I say this? I don't know. I'm just going to say it. I think it is the only way that we understand the heart and will of God and who God is calling us to. So Gosh, I shouldn't say that. There's probably other ways. Darn it.
But practices, being engaged in those practices come out of our personal initiative to do that. And for me, that's what's important. That's kind of the first step. Spirituality isn't something that just happens. It's something that we have to work at and engage in it in our life. And so I agree with you. Without the practices, we just kind of go through the motions, and it's not intentional.
It's true. My life is completely different when I am engaged in spiritual practices than when I'm not. It is night and day different.
I agree with you.
So here's a question that I ask everyone on this podcast, on the Prophetic People podcast. Scott, I was hoping that you would talk to me about, we have a list of things. That's the concept of Zion, ordination of women, lenses of discernment, the LGBTQIA plus community, diversity in leadership, attention to the poor, international diversity, nonviolence, process of common consent, and signal community. So I have this huge list, and I wondered if you might talk about when you saw prophetic in one or two of those things. You can choose one, you can choose two, but when was that a prophetic moment for you? And choose one and tell us what you're going to talk about.
So let me respond to a couple of them here. And I'll try to be brief in this time. The whole experience that the church has been going through since really the 80s and has been on a journey, but that led us into to the national conference with the LGBTQIA plus community. You know, if I'm to be honest here in this conversation, it was a journey for me. And it was not always something that just immediately wasn't an aha. Yeah. It was a journey of trying to understand, of trying to be aware, because I, for me personally, had no understanding of what that felt like to be of someone attracted to the same sex or other feelings that emerge in this whole development and understanding of human sexuality. And so as the church was going through this journey, I was going through my own questions and trying to understand that. Probably to define it in terms of a prophetic moment came for me when I was serving as a mission center president. And I had a strong sense of call for it was actually the son of one of the pastors in the congregation in the mission center. And since I knew that a priesthood call could not come through the pastor, I had taken it on myself to be really prayerful and intentional about this individual over a period of time. And the sense of call for this individual became so strong and powerful in my own journey and discernment that I did present the call and met with the individual, and he accepted that call. And I'm not exaggerating. 2 months later, I discovered that he was a gay man. And that just completely disrupted me, because here I was in a position having the responsibilities of administratively upholding the policies of the church. And yet at the same time, I could not deny the experience that I had in terms of the priesthood call, and as powerful as any experience of calling for priesthood that I have ever had in my role as a pastor, mission center president, and through my role in the presidency. That was a prophetic moment for me of the movement of what was happening in the life of the church, of what God was inviting the church into and struggle, and for me in my own personal discipleship, the experience that invited me to go deeper and to understand this was not nearly a black and white issue that the church was dealing with. I was grateful for that, and I am grateful for that experience, which helped open me. And that experience really opened me to other encounters with other people throughout the church, and then going through the national conference, even as difficult as that was in the life of the church. A truly prophetic experience that has stretched the church, and stretching is not always easy, but it is what takes us deeper. So that is one experience. I think the other one, real quick, let me speak to the aspect of the prophetic movement that's occurred in the diversity of leadership in the church. I had the privilege in December of 2016 to travel to the nation of Nigeria with Apostle Bunda Chibwe and then Bishop Catherine Mombwe to take part in the 50-year anniversary of the church in Nigeria. And part of that experience is that people from all throughout the state and area of Akota Kumfong, where the church 50 years prior had been birthed out in the villages there in Nigeria, people came, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people gathered for that celebration. That morning, a song, who is the chief of the village and also the Mission Center president, as he was doing the greetings and opening that celebration, 50-year anniversary celebration, he began to introduce us, Bunda and myself, and that. When he came to Catherine, he introduced Catherine as the field bishop of Africa and indicated that she was the first female African to be called and served as a bishop in the church in partnership with the Apostle Bunda Chibwe. In that moment, in that announcement, this amazing thing happened. Every female in that gathering stood in applause and their African cheers in celebration. And I sat there in awe as I watched this movement through this gathering of hundreds of women standing, applauding, and cheering. And in that moment, I became aware that in Catherine's role of leadership and the diversity and the call of the first female African woman to serve in that role of a bishop, this essence of justice came into the midst of that setting, and those women stood because in Catherine, they found this expression of the justice and the worth of females in that culture to say that they belong and that there is a place and a role for them. I was just in awe of that experience. And so when Catherine's call to be an apostle came and we shared in that experience at the World Conference last April, and in her ordination that occurred in the temple on Tuesday night of the conference, there was this powerful expression. But the joyful celebration, if any of our listeners were there and remember, the real celebration occurred after the service had ended, and they were all on the stage celebrating because of the significant message and role that in Catherine's call to be an apostle, the justice of the worth of all, and especially females in the culture, becomes a prominent message of community of Christ throughout the church in other nations. That is a powerful prophetic message that I experience in the life of the church and that I see happening as diversity of leadership begins to expand and grow throughout the church.
Oh, those are really good stories, Scott. Oh, and thank you for being vulnerable and sharing about those stories. I just can't tell you enough how important it is for, I think, members and friends of Community of Christ to hear people in leadership positions be vulnerable. I really appreciate that. So I actually have one more question for you, and I haven't found a really good place to put it in. So I'm just going to have to stick it in. And I think I cannot miss this opportunity having you as a member of the First Presidency on this. Are you getting nervous on the podcast?
I'm being patient.
I mean, we've been talking about prophetic people and, how important it is for each of us to take on that responsibility in some ways and to help the church become the church that God is calling us to. So for you, what is the difference in the role of the prophet and the role of the president? Is there a big difference? Is there a small difference? What is that difference for you?
That's really a good question, Carla. Let me see if I can put it this way. The role, the prophetic role or the role of the prophet is to be the vision and declarer for the church. The one called in that prophetic function is always trying to remain open and in a spirit and condition of discernment to discover God's movement and work in the church and to help point the church to see what God is up to and what the church is and where the church is called to go. So as I've had the privilege now of serving in the presidency with President Vesey, that is a role that he does not take lightly. It is a role that I feel like I can say without putting him on the spot, that he struggles deep in his soul regarding that, to make sure that anything that he brings of inspired counsel to the church is not just something that's personally in him or just his personal emotions, but his struggle to truly reflect in the best way he can and with the best words that are available within his cognitive capacity to help point the church to where God is calling us. And so that role of prophet is to be in that space and in condition to be open and searching and trying to discover and be aware of God's call in the life of the church. So one of the things that Stacy and I do as the counselors and members of the presidency, and as I indicated to you earlier in a conversation, we really kind of function as the chief operating officers of the church. Stacy really oversees the whole operations of the headquarters and that in the bishopric. I function in the operation of the field and the work of the church out into the field. We do that to truly, as much as we can, allow President Vesey to give the time and focus to think about the church, the issues that the church is facing in the midst of culture, and how does he try to open himself to guidance of the divine to be able to listen and reflect on and help point the church in that way. The role of the president is the role of presiding. So the president of the church and the presidency presides over the church, meaning that it cares for the function of the church in terms of its operations and its well-being of the faith community. So the president and presidency give oversight to the vision that's been cast from the prophetic side before the church. but oversees the functions of the church, priesthood, the sacraments, the governance of the body of the church as an organization, the policies that, you know, are needed to provide structure within the church that allows that structure and organization for the body to be able to function in a healthy way. So there, the prophetic role is really about the visionary and pointing to where God is at and calling us. The president function is really about the administrative and the presiding over the church in its kind of organization institutional structure.
That is actually really, really helpful to me. I knew a lot of what you said, but I really appreciate kind of like the definition of those roles. Because, you know, we throw around the term president, prophet, prophet, president. And you don't think about too much about that. That's a pretty serious role. There's a lot to it. So I appreciate that so much. Well, Scott, we're nearing the end of our podcast. Is there something that you wanted to say that I didn't ask or that I missed or anything like that?
You know, no, I think your questions have been really helpful. And again, I would just say to the listeners, if they haven't had a chance to take part and listen to Apostle Ron Harmon and retired Apostle Linda Booths, and then the Director of Human Resources, Matt Frizzell, their podcast on this prophetic role, being a prophetic people. I really encourage people to do that because each of them just bring this kind of experience, and putting them all together for me just, I think, will give a fuller expression and encounter into what this prophetic role and nature is. But I just would certainly want to leave people with the call and awareness that, you know, again, how we live our life says so much. And as community of Christ and our mission initiatives, our enduring principles, if we truly can live those out in the midst of culture in a way that begins to speak and in some ways may be disruptive, I truly believe we have a chance to fulfill a necessary kind of prophetic role as a faith community to live in that countercultural experience and message that I believe people are yearning to encounter and find. But if it's just going to be through our words, I'm concerned it will just not be heard to the level. But if we can live that, if we can begin to experience that in a more authentic and meaningful way in the context of being a faith community lived out in our congregations and what it means to be the church, man, I think that there's some powerful experiences and blessings that will come that congregations and people will encounter as they are courageous enough and vulnerable enough to live in that way. And so I just hope as we all journey together that we will have that courage to do so.
Thank you so much, Scott, for agreeing to be on this podcast. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate your words today. I appreciate your stories today, and I'm really excited for the listeners to hear this.
Well, thank you for the privilege to be with you and the listeners today too, Carla.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.